This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105 Through the Fan. Friday News Dump's coming up at 5 o'clock, and then it's going to be time for What You Drinking, What You Thinking Friday here coming up at 5:20. So 33 minutes away from your phone calls, and we're looking forward to hanging out with you here in the 5 o'clock hour. Of course, LA Live with Lucius Alexander is now under 1 hour away. Okay, what could be just a few years off on the horizon is a college football super league, and the question is, how close to it are we? Okay, the very latest intel from the story on CBS Sports. Okay, this Super League proposal has some merit, and the latest proposal to adapt to the changing landscape features 80 teams as well as promotion and relegation, buddy, which you got to love, because how do we go from like 110 teams down to a group that could all play each other and be eligible for the prime spots for the championship, right? And it doesn't make sense logistically to try to get everybody to play everybody. So when they're talking about that, that is exciting. Okay, The Athletic reported last week this idea of a super league. And there's a group of power brokers trying to do what the NFL did in the 60s. That was kind of their premise. So CBS sent a couple of reporters on a mission to track down as many of them as possible to kind of flush out the idea. And I read their report and the results of what they've been talking about this week on CBS Sports. You can go check out the article if you'd like to. But there's 20 different people involved in this group called College Football Tomorrow. They have presidents involved. And the main guy quoted says, they waited too long to do this. They should have been working towards this a long time ago, because they feel like it's probably like a 7-year process. And part of it is letting the old deals expire. Right. But by 2031 would be their goal to bring this to reality. And I was thinking, man, that seems like a long time away. But, Brian, we've become so used to waiting forever for things to change in college football. I'm okay with that. As long as they're working towards it, I think that's an exciting piece of what the college football landscape is going to look like.
Yeah, I wish they could have come up with it sooner and then been able to hold all the conferences together.
Yeah.
You know, we've had now these Pac-12 teams playing in the ACC and Pac-12 teams playing in the, the Big Ten. And, it's a shame, because if they could have done this with television, if they could have done it quicker, I think you could have saved these conferences, because the money would have been good enough for these teams that are in the super conference. They could have funded all the other sports and stuff and kept everybody, so we wouldn't have these, losing all these rivalries. The football part of it is great, but you're going to lose rivalries like in the other sports.
And you didn't have to lose that to get this.
And you didn't have to lose that. You could have just said, okay, Michigan, you're in the super conference, and the Michigan, you could stay in the Big Ten and do all the things you need to do. Or for example, USC, you're in the super conference, you get to stay in the Pac-12 and play UCLA and Oregon and all these other teams that you continually play. I think that's where the other sports are going to lose out, because you're going to lose those rivalries with Stanford having to go now way across the country to play North Carolina in a women's sport or men's sport, track field, whatever. It's just going to be kind of crazy they don't have those rivalries anymore.
Yeah, it's just weird. The history, the tradition is something that should have been protected. And, maybe we can start building new history and traditions, but that's a lot of the fun of the sport is the history and being able to drive to most of your rivals.
I'm totally okay with LSU playing Michigan and Ohio State. We did that when I was at LSU. We played at Ohio State. We played Notre Dame. Those were fun.
I bet.
Fun games to be a part of, to go to play at Notre Dame Stadium or to play at the Shoe like we did. That part of football, I could deal with that. It's the other sports that I just don't want to lose those rivalries, and I feel like we are. Football rivalries are good, but the fact that we've accepted the fact that Ohio State will play, play USC or whoever, I think that's great. But as far as all the other sports, I don't know if that's
You know
great.
That money's going to win, though, Chief, and they want more huge matchups, and they're going to get it. There will be less dead weekends.
Yeah.
You can see on Thursday Night Football how important it is to have a great game with the most talented players in the sport.
Yeah. It's just going to be there are a plenty of weeks in college football where you're looking around at the slate going, is there one game maybe that is like big money matchup here. So I'm excited about this. I know the tradition factor of some things is going to get lost in translation here, which is a bit of a bummer, but I do think you're getting better matchups. You're getting more high stakes games, like when you talk about the playoff and all those different things. So ultimately I'm here for all of this, and logistically they will figure it out.
Yeah. And new history will be born, like for example, in soccer 10, 12 years ago, Manchester City was an also-ran in Manchester United's shadow, and now it's become a massive global brand in a very brief period of time compared to the history of the sport. I think naturally we kind of resist change and we don't like it, and surely there's value in it. I'm not trivializing, even losing the Southwest Conference. It still sucks all these years later.
Yeah, it does.
The writer does point out, though, when it comes to the 12-team format, you had commissioners and ADs trying to hammer that out. They couldn't come to a solution. It was like too many chefs in the kitchen trying to decide on what a menu was going to be. And every time they had a meeting, they were like, crap, we're no closer. We got to have another meeting. So it's taken the College Football Playoff Board of Managers, specifically Mississippi State President Mark Keenum, to get that done. And they now see that process for decision-making inside college football is vastly superior to the old style that was just spinning its wheels trying to come up with this 12-team playoff format. They couldn't get the job done. So as decisions flow and the logistics of having meetings and committees decide and vote on things, they feel like they've turned over a significant page, and maybe college football doesn't have to move so slow anymore as a result of it, getting the presidents involved.
Do you worry about, though, with the Super League, that maybe some of the teams in the Super League, especially the top teams, are going to get all the NIL players, all the transfer portal guys?
Yeah,
Do you think there's going to be a huge imbalance of players in the Super League, that they're all going to end up in the top five programs?
I think you'll have teams that aren't in the top five, like Man City.
Yeah.
Who finds a booster, like, was it Abramovich that bought them? Was Chelsea? It was a different guy.
I think he bought Chelsea.
Yeah. So, like, you'll get alumni that come into money that say, hey, we're going to make our program great, like Phil Knight at Oregon.
Right.
I think he went to an Oregon-Stanford game in, like, 1999 where they won the conference, and he was like, damn it, I love this, and started the process. Next thing you know, NFL guys are coming out of there. So it's just going to be a,
I just wonder if the super teams are just, is there going to be just maybe 8 to 10 real super teams, and everybody else is kind of,
I mean, that would be more than we have now, isn't
hanging
it?
Hanging on there,
Yeah.
I don't know. It just seems like to me the way that they're going to, let me ask you something real quick. I know we're up against it. Yes or no, does there need to be a salary cap on NIL money for these schools?
I think that is certainly in play. There just needs to be a little bit more regulation. There's got to be some uniformity here, whatever that means. Maybe it's a salary cap. Maybe it's just, player contracts, whatever. But there needs to be something.
I'm for the players getting paid. I'm not trying to have the players not get paid. I just wondered if every team knows going in, we have X amount of money we could spend on our players. We have a $15 million budget for our team every year.
I like the idea of an open market. I mean, it's great.
I don't know. But see, that's what I'm saying. To me, the open market's great. I just wondered if the haves are going to continue to push down the have-nots.
Man, I want the colleges to bust down some of that TV money to all.
I agree. That's what I'm saying.
And have a regular check for all the kids.
Yeah.
$1,500 a month or whatever it may be.
There you go. But that's what I'm saying. Maybe you do. Maybe you have a $20 million budget for your NIL money, and you put it through your whole team.
That's ultimately what kicked the NFL off into great success, was taking all of the money, distributing it amongst the teams, and then giving 50% of the revenue to players. And that's been a model that has worked for decades. So maybe it can be applied to college football. Yeah. Okay, coming up next, the 5 o'clock hour. Of course, what you drinking, what you thinking is coming up in about 25 minutes. Where are we going next, Chief?
Friday News Dump featuring your baseball stat of the day, Masters fun facts, and the most reckless TV show idea of all time has just landed at Netflix. That's next here in the Nation.